morning just because I wanted to see you. Truly, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Let us pray. Merciful and loving God, we're so grateful for this day. We pray, O God, that you would move like never before in this congregation. Speak, O Lord, that we may hear. Speak, O Lord, that we will change and hear from you in a special way. We pray this trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, my mother never watched too much TV. There was perhaps two things that she would look at. Every day, she must watch the news. But also, there was a game show in the USA called The Price is Right. Now, she loved this show, and she had to watch it also every day. My mother loved the show so much that my sister was able to get tickets for her to go on the show to be one of the contestants. Now, the way the show went was that there was different things or prizes that they would present to you. And you would have to guess the price of this. And every time you guessed it correctly, you would advance on to bigger prizes. But of course, there was a trick to the show, because when they presented to you three different curtains, behind one of those curtains, there was a trick. So therefore, if you said, I want curtain number two, maybe that's where the trick was. But curtain number one had the prize that you had to guess the price. As an example, curtain number one, if you chose it, was a trip around the world for your whole family. You had cash for the trip. And then also, they would give you money so that you would have cash as well. And a mobile home so you can go on future trips. Behind curtain number two, if you selected this, you may find two top-of-the-line vehicles, as well as brand new furniture to furnish your home. But oh, if you selected that trick curtain number three, you would get a very, very old beat-up car that could not even run. Now, I'm reminded of this when I read the passage in Matthew this morning. Jesus was in the wilderness with the devil, who offered him three choices. Now, before we get to those choices, I want us to understand the wilderness experience. Now, quite often when I travel away, I kind of forget my tongue, and I come back and I speak a little bit too fast. Is my speed okay? Okay. The wilderness in the Bible is used to describe an isolated, a place of solitude. It is a place of self-discovery. It is a place that one goes to search for God's divine presence. Jesus understood the work that was before him. It required him to prepare for it. Jesus was about to take on the sins of the world. Now, my friends, this was not only physically painful, but it was also spiritually painful. The wilderness was a place for spiritual transformation for Jesus, because he was about to face the known unknown. Do you understand what I'm talking about? To face the known, that Jesus knew that he was about to die for the sins of the world. But while Jesus was fully human, but he was also divine as well. To take on the sins of the world for someone who knew no sin, what would that be like? It was not just my sins, it was the sins of everyone in St. Andrews. It was the sins of everyone in Kenya or the whole wide world. The known unknown. He understood his task. But not really knowing what that task would really truly be like, Jesus, as I said, was fully human. And perhaps that fully human part of him was raising a lot of questions. God, this is going to take a lot of courage. I'm not sure, God, that I can really do this. This maybe perhaps is too much for me. It's a risk, God. It's an impossible task that I'm being asked to do. Perhaps there was some concerns that he was raising, just like others raised in the Bible. If you recall Israel, just before she went to the desert with Moses, not knowing how long she would be there, what dangers she might face, and if God's presence would constantly be with them. Jesus, like Israel and many of us, had to leave the comfortable knowing that risk was going to be ahead and enter into the uncomfortable. I don't know if we have students that are about to start university. You've just left high school or secondary school, not quite sure what you're going to experience. You leave the comfort of your home to go to the uncomfortable or the unknown. Perhaps God is calling some of you into a new job. You know this particular area of your field and this organization or corporation that you're working with, but now you're about to enter something totally new. Elders who are going to be ordained in a few hours in the next service. A brand new opportunity to be an elder. Now you know what an elder does, but you're really about to enter into something that's unknown. It's a known unknown. Going into the wilderness was a call of God to prepare Jesus for the task that's at hand. It was an encounter with God's divine presence. It caused an internal change. It caused a spiritual transformation. It was an opportunity, my friends, to empty oneself, to become spiritually naked before God. Are you with me? In the wilderness, it was a time that we recognize that we are no longer in control. We learn to completely depend on God. The wilderness has a way of changing our physical orientation. The very thing that we know, we have to relearn. Either you guys are not with me, or maybe I was in Rome, so maybe I'm talking Italian and I don't realize it. Am I speaking English? We understand, right? There you go. The wilderness has a way of changing what we thought we know. We have to relearn it. I was in the desert some months ago, and I wanted to experience what a desert was really like. So as the Jeep drove us into the desert, and the driver said, take off your shoes. It's not like the sand on the beach. As I took off my shoes and got out the car and began to walk, I felt the heat of the sand on my feet. I began to feel as if I was a child traveling and learning how to walk for the first time because I was losing my balance. It was difficult to walk in the sand because it wasn't solid and the ground kept shifting beneath you. I kept on saying, God, don't let me fall, because if I fall, it's hard for me to brace myself, because remember, it's not a solid ground, and I don't think the person who drove me was strong enough to pick me up again. I was learning to walk for the first time. My only thought was, God, I just want to get back to the Jeep and sit there. So I toweled my way back to the Jeep because it was hard to stand on the sand and the heat was getting too much for me. Now imagine Jesus in the desert, walking in the desert. You have to learn to walk all over again. The conditions of the wilderness or the desert was harsh. Just like it was very hot by day, by the time we left, it was the evening, and it was cold by night. These are the conditions that Jesus had to bear with in the wilderness experience. Everything he thought he knew, he had to relearn. He had to learn to rely on God. The wilderness for 40 days and nights is not easy, St. Andrews. Jesus didn't have a high-tech mobile home to sleep in. He was relying on God to help him to walk through the desert. We just sung the song that said, "My hope is built on nothing less. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is seeking sand." Now, the second issue of this wilderness experience is that Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights. Now, fasting changes your body totally. I tried to do some research, and some of the medical doctors in here can help me with this. I don't know how long one can go without food and water. They say Gandhi fasted for 21 days. Others tried to fast, but your body begins to weaken. You began at times to hallucinate. They say that at some point, you become obsessed with food or the thought of food. Now, for those of you who have teenagers in your house, when my children were growing up, they would come home from school and say, "Mom, what time is dinner going to be ready?" And I would say, "In just 10 minutes." They would rush to the refrigerator, grab some bread and put some jam on them, and begin to eat. And I said, "But food will be ready in 10 minutes. But they say, "I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. I just have to eat a pre-dinner," they say. My brothers and sisters, the probably last thing they had was lunch. But imagine for 40 days and 40 nights fasting and not having anything. They say you become obsessed with the thought of eating anything. Psychologically, your mind changes as well as your body begins to change. They say you become indifferent about the welfare of others. All you want to do is to find something to eat. The body stops functioning normally after fasting for so long. You become so weak that you can hardly stand. Now, this is important to understand. As we now think about what Jesus went through, these are the things that weakened Jesus' body and mind. And now, as he's about to leave the desert, who meets him but the devil, who offers three choices to him? First of all, he offers him an appeal to the flesh. "Turn these stones into bread." Now, think about it. Jesus could have rationalized that, yes, Satan is right. I have to eat. And it would be no harm for me to turn these stones into bread. This is what I call blurred lines. When you know you're in a spiritual gray area, but we want to justify it to meet our own needs, it's okay for me to follow what the devil said because I have to eat. Elders and friends, sometimes we find ourselves faced with what I call these blurred lines or these spiritual gray areas. We justify choosing the devil's option. After all, I am hungry. Some of us brothers will say, "After all, I am a man, and God made me this way. God wants me to enjoy life after all, right?" No, I'm not corrupt. I was given the gift of a house by by the company that so happened to get the government contract that I had oversight. But it's not corruption, it's a bossing. If I take this money, I'm not being paid very well. And after all, my children have to eat. God understands this. Blurred lies. We justify what we think God wants us to do. Jesus had a choice behind this curtain, and he could have felt guilt-free if he would have psyched himself into doing it. Turn the stones into bread. My friend's choice three. The devil pulled what I call the vanity card. The vanity curtain. It would have been easy for Jesus to get puffed up. Pull himself up. And allow his ego to take over. You know, that's right. I am the Son of God. I am Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you, Satan, who I am. Jesus, like some of us, could have worn a title around our neck. I'm Elder so-and-so. You know who I am. Jesus could have made a mad dash off the cliff and turned himself around to show the tricks that he can do. Like Usain Bolt, he could have made that sign of a bolt almost as if that's who I am. My friends, we wear the title of elder around our neck. Do you know who I am? I'm an elder at St. Andrews. And because I'm an elder at St. Andrews, you recognize who I am. My friends, brothers and sisters, the Bible, Jesus said, as it is written, do not put the Lord thy God to test. Now the third choice is what I call greed. Pablo Escobar, the notorious Colombian drug lord, says that everybody, hear me, everybody has a price. The important thing is to find out what it is. Did you hear me? This saying goes back further than Escobar. I believe that while he might have quoted it, I believe that this is what Satan had in mind. Everybody has a price. Now, I don't want to debate the merits or demerits of this thinking. But the devil understood that choice three appealed to human nature. The part of us that wants more and more, even at the expense of others. The value measured wealth based on how many cattle I have, how big of a house that I have, how many steaks I can afford to eat. The choice three is an addiction, my friends, and you and I have the capacity to be drawn into it. The devil was not only offering Jesus to have an overflowing bank account in the Bank of Jerusalem. He was not only offering Jesus to have mansions in every major city of the world, but he was not even only offering Jesus a brand new suit. You know Jesus, you're now Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, elders, you're now the elder at St. Andrews. You deserve a better suit. Therefore, I'm going to get you an Alexander Van Gogh suit, the second, that costs 10.3 million Kenya shillings. The most expensive roller there is. Custom fit, not that baggy robe that you wear, Jesus, but custom fit with 18 karat gold diamond buttons. While these things sound impressive, but behind the greed curtain that the devil was offering Jesus was much more. He was offering Jesus the whole world. Jesus, behind curtain number three, if you choose this one, the devil told him, I'll give you all the impressiveness, all the opulence, all the luxuriousness, the richness, the lavishness, the glory and the beauty and the elegance of the world. And all we have to do is just one small thing. It's really double, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me. But Jesus said those profound words, I choose to worship the Lord God and Him only. What Jesus was telling the devil was that he was in the wilderness, and in the wilderness there was a false curtain, and he got a glimpse of his destiny. He saw that old rugged cross. The wilderness experience might have been difficult, but it was necessary for the transformation of Jesus. He was given eyes to see new possibilities. My friends, when you're born again in Christ, you have new eyes to see new possibilities. The world where the people of God are awakening to the uniqueness of their gifts, and they offer it to the world for service. The church should have really said amen if you understood me. He saw a vision of where God, the God's purpose for each person in life. Elders and friends, this vision is not a vision to perpetuate the status quo. This is the way we do it in the PCEA. So as a PCA elder, I'm going to perpetuate the status quo. My friends, God is calling you for a new vision. Elders, we're not supposed to do the same old, same old. We go to the district meeting, we pray, we say a word, and we go home. But my friends, God is calling you to a fresh vision, a new anointing, to do something new, not to perpetuate the old. And people of God, same with you. God wants to use you in a powerful way, but it is through the wilderness experience that you find yourself transformed. Worship, my friends, is a response to God's holy encounter. It is an attitude, my friends, of awe when you come into the presence of God. Yes, Reverend, we're worshipped because you see all the things that we have gone through. You've gone through a liturgy. Unless you bring the Spirit of God with you. You follow me. When we go through a liturgy, opening prayer, praying songs, opening prayer, what else? The Lord's Prayer, a hymn, that's a liturgy. But when you worship God, it's an awestruck feeling. Do you know in the book of Revelations when they said the elders, the 24 elders fell on their face when they heard the thunderous voice of God? And what did they do? They worshiped. Friends, I'm about to sit down. But I want to know, what curtain will you choose? Living by the Spirit of God, the Spirit is a radical, different way of life. It will change your behavior. Which curtain will you choose, my friends? Will you choose to allow God to teach you how to walk again? Which curtain will you choose, St. Andrews? Will you choose to set your mind on the things in heaven? Which curtain will you choose, my brothers and sisters? Will you allow the Spirit of God to guide you in every aspect of your life? What curtain will you choose? Will you choose to worship God? That changes every aspect of your life. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Microphone, please, the second one. Sorry, let me just get my band in order. Check.
Sorry.
Sing it and believe it.